Well, we got a great season going here with the Guardians. Now a pitcher's being investigated. I don't know what for, but we'll find out probably by the time you hear this tease.
And Ken gives us the remaining 25 movies his kid must watch, and we end on a very depressing note.
Apocalypse Now, Full Metal Jacket, or Born on the 4th of July. We let you choose on the next edition of the Emerging Podcast Scene, presented by Extend Technologies on 92.3 The Fan Extra on the free Odyssey app.
The first 4 hours were simply an amuse-bouche.
I'm stuffed. I can't remember the last time I ate this much.
Sure you don't want no dessert?
Not for me.
How good.
Your table is now ready for Carmen and Lima's Emerging Podcast Scene.
We're brought to you by Extend Technologies, XTENDAV.com. What is going on here? What is this? What is this story?
Yeah, we got news. Jeff Passan had put it out. The Guardians right-hander Luis Ortiz has been under investigation by Major League Baseball and has been placed on paid leave, so he gets to keep getting his checks.
Well,
MLB,
you can't help but speculate.
MLB did not release specifics of the investigation, so Kenny, I urge you to be professional.
I'm not going to speculate publicly.
No place for speculation of what kind of situation he is under
usually
investigation.
It's one of two things. Usually it's one of two things. Well, now it's usually one of two things. It used to be just one thing.
Right. Well, normally...
Because I don't see any... If there was anything legally, there would have been a crime report somewhere.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I haven't seen anything like that. So it's either one of two things. It's either things that guys used to get popped for, or it's something that guys are now
getting popped for right.
Allegedly.
So, I think people catch your drift.
Okay, so, I hope they do.
But I would just kind of a bigger question. You talked about the apathy setting in. Like even my buddies that normally it's play-by-play of Guardians games over the last 5 years, it's been anytime someone hits a home run, anytime, like those are gone. Those are all gone from my phone right now. And I have them on. They're on in the background while I'm, you know, getting the kids ready for bed and bath and all that stuff. But are you sensing not only the lost season, are you sensing the level of apathy that is at the level where it could be really dangerous moving forward? Because a lot of teams have bad years, right? And the Guardians have been one of those teams that, man, their bad years have been few and far between, especially under Tito. You know, they were relevant almost every year. If they had any kind of a down year, they made up for it the very next year. The benefit of the doubt that we came into the season with, some of us, while we were getting shouted at for the inactivity from the Dolans and from the organization following an ALCS run, I fought those people. Well, it turns out I was wrong. Maybe I shouldn't have given them the benefit of the doubt. I will tell you this, won't make that mistake again. So you can lose that benefit of the doubt in 1 year, and maybe just a few months, you might lose that. And I don't know how they recover from that, other than DeLauder coming up and being sensational.
Yeah.
I don't know how you, but then it's going to be, why didn't you bring him up sooner? Why didn't you inject that life into the clubhouse earlier? Because this team needs more than just that now. This team needs
Overreact here. I mean, it's not good, but let's not reach a critical mass of things that we can't take back. It's not been a good year. My concern is, though, is that this year's going to end poorly, which that's not the biggest concern. If the season ends poorly, my biggest concern is that this is used against them in a court of sports for years to come with the fans. I don't know how much longer the guy's going to own the baseball team, but I'm telling you, this sticks with him. Because, again, I thought a lot about the TV contract, and, well, when you pull the rug out, we're under the TV contract, you can only do so-and-so, and blah, 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 blah. And Zach Meisel's just not accepting that. So if he's not accepting that and there's other people not accepting that, then I guess I got to stop using it. And I stopped using it last week as an excuse. I can't use it as an excuse anymore. So if that's no excuse for them, then guess what? Then they just decided that last year was a blip. Last year was a fluke, and that they still have been a middling baseball team then for 3 years, because this is what a middling baseball team is doing. They're having a very bad week. They're under 500. They'll probably finish under 500. That's the way things go. This Luis Ortiz mystery investigation doesn't make anybody feel any better, but I still believe that it's been a good franchise for a long time. But it's not. I don't think it's the time to give up on the franchise. I think a lot of people are calling it quits on the season. Because, damn it, man, you got a real problem in your clubhouse. You haven't won a game over the last week after what's happened when Jose Ramirez got hit. I think that sticks out. You got to have some level of fight to you. You got to have some level of gumption to go out there and get the damn thing done. This has been a frustrating time. And I know that we've tried to say the best thing possible is that you have the 28th hardest strength of schedule, which means you have a very easy schedule in the second half. Okay, but when your head's underwater and you have no chance in the division and you really might not have a serious chance in the wild card, what's that point? What's that got to do with anything? Maybe it'll fool us going into next year. I'm not sure. Because one of the things that I was holding on to is that, hey, maybe we got four pitchers here under the age of 25 or 26 that we could possibly work with for the future here and put this rotation back together. Well, I don't. Now we got guys under investigation for things that they won't even tell us about. Other than that, it's going real well. I did have a lot of reactions. I wanted to bring this up to you. Do you have anything else with the Guardians?
They have had one below 500 season. In the last, I believe it is 14 years, and it was just 2 years ago. And then they followed it up with an ALCS run. So we thought that was the anomaly. This team, of a lot of teams, cannot afford to go in that direction. You know, there are a lot of bad teams that can kind of stay bad for a while or whatever. That's just come to be accepted. Here, you become a victim of your own success to some degree, where you have the people that are expecting you to make the playoffs every year. You have the people that are angry that you haven't won a World Series, and they'll always come up with a fatal flaw or bring up the money as to why you haven't won the World Series. As if you just spend more money, you win the World Series. We know that's not the case in Major League Baseball at all. But so those people are angry. And so everybody ends up being angry. There's nobody happy because you've been good. You've been pretty good for so long. You've never been all-time great, but you've been pretty good for so long that the year that you're not pretty good, and in fact, you're just bad, People sharpen the knives and get off every opinion they've ever had about what's holding the Guardians back, and it all becomes a cacophony of criticism. Cacophony of criticism.
Oh, boy.
Cacophony of criticism.
Do you
want me to make that the title, Cacophony of Criticism?
I think we found our title.
Cacophony of Criticism? I don't even know if I can spell cacophony.
Cacaw.
Tone, I got a lot of reactions to the first part of the top 50 list for the movies I want to watch with my sons before they graduate. Do you want to go over the replies or do you want to go over more of the list? Because I hesitate to go over more of the list because Owen isn't here. Does that matter to you at all? Would Owen care?
Too bad, so sad.
A lot of people thought it was a ranking. It's not a ranking. It was just a list, which I should have made that more clear. A lot of people thought that was the entire list, and it's not the entire list of movies. There are definitely some movies here that are written down that I would like to go back on and cross out. I don't think we need to watch Almost Famous. I think I'm removing that from the list. I love Philip Seymour Hoffman, but he's... doesn't play much of a role in that movie. Penny Lane, I find her more annoying as time goes on.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, you agree?
I agree.
I love it.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go real quick down the first 23, even though it ended up being like 26 movies because, you know, you got to add in the sequels that I have in there, like Godfather Part 2, Rocky 2, 3, and 4, all three of the Die Hards, things like that. Ghostbusters 1 and 2. Does 2 deserve to be in there? These are with my sons before they graduate high school.
No.
No.
2 does not.
Okay, so 2's gone. Blazing Saddles. I had a lot of people questioning Blazing Saddles.
I could understand.
Is it because it's risque humor or it's not dated. Their humor anymore? It's dated humor.
It's dated. And that's what I'm worried about Airplane 2, but I hope that Airplane is so silly that...
I think I watched Airplane with my sons.
That it would resonate with younger... school-aged boys.
A couple of these have already been taken care of. Like somebody, like, again, people are like, you only have Tommy Boy ranked 8th? I'm like, well.
I thought it was no particular order.
I couldn't believe some people. No, it's not any particular order. But I'm like, well, if you really wanted to go that way, it's like, well, it's not better than The Godfather, for crying out loud, but Tommy Boy is one of my favorite movies ever. There were some people who were wondering why I had New Jack City. They did not like the movie. And I thought there was some cultural significance to it. It's Wesley Snipes in a great role. It's Ice-T in an awesome role. This is Chris Rock early in his career. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we're talking about drugs. Yep. That is not Scarface. Like, I don't know if I have Scarface on the list. Scarface to me is a tough watch. I ain't going to lie to you guys. Like, I know everybody wants to, I've seen Scarface twice and both times. I'm like, all right, we're going to sit down. We're going to watch Scarface. I was not as, there's a couple of parts that are fine, but
so
I'm not as blown away by everybody else.
So I remember the very first time I watched Scarface.
Okay.
And it was
like a rite of passage for us. I don't know how you guys were.
Me and Pete Velotta we one summer did.
R.I.P.
The Godfather. No, he's very much alive.
Sorry.
Very good at Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. And
oh, wow, he kicked my ass for saying that. He kicked Death's ass for wondering it.
So we watched one summer, I think it was eighth grade. I rode my bike over there every day, and we watched every mobster, every big mobster movie. And Scarface, again, was two VHSs, so was The Godfather. Mm-hmm. Trying to think. I think Goodfellas might have been.
Goodfellas had, it was 91 when Goodfellas came out, right?
Yes, he had two VHSs. And I told the story once before about Godfather 2, I played the wrong VHS first. Which is just unbelievable. I watched the whole effing thing.
Oh my God.
And then started it over.
Oh my God. Oh my God. That's great.
But anyway, watched Scarface and was into it just because we had heard everybody thought it was just the coolest movie to reference. And then the rappers got into Scarface. And I remember MTV Cribs, every rapper had a Scarface poster because.
Was actually a rapper named Scarface.
Yes. He was really good too.
Good voice.
Yeah.
Good pipes.
Office Space. He's the first song when he's sitting in the car in traffic jam.
Yeah.
Do they do movie posters anymore, guys?
Do you, Mitch?
I know I do. I have a whole bunch of them in my apartment.
Well, all of our rooms
aren't they more collectible now? Like, there used to be, like, when you would go to Spencer's, they had a bunch of movie posters.
Sure.
Those were $5. I imagine they're what now? What are movie posters now?
They're probably, it depends on like maybe $10 to $20.
Okay, that's not bad.
They're not expensive.
Do they still have Spencer's anymore?
They do. They do. Okay. I've seen them at the mall.
So I watched it the very first time and I was like, okay, the music does not fit this movie at all. That was weird. Mary Elizabeth Master Antonio, there was one weird scene in particular towards the end, and I'm like, is this going towards...
Theo Sagapulitelli was in the movie.
Is this going towards something that's very taboo? I don't know. And the overacting, it was so over the top.
You're talking about Scarface, correct?
Okay. But I think in the end, it was very rewatchable because you kind of enjoyed the silliness of all of that.
Well, it's just for guys. I mean, it's such a guy's...
And then the final scene is such a badass scene.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the chainsaw scene.
Maybe it's better than what I think.
And Mitch, had you have gone to Miami, you could have gone to the Scarface hotel when he falls down the steps. You could have gone there. One of the great scenes.
Is it what is the best mob movie of all time? Is it just The Godfather and we move on? Because I got to tell you.
But that's the thing about
For me personally.
The Godfather kind of transcends that it's a mob movie. It's almost more of a family movie.
Yeah, history.
It's almost more of Americana.
Yeah, it's a good point.
So it is a mob movie, without a doubt. Like, never forget that. But much in the way that people were disappointed when they'd watch The Sopranos and they're like, there was no killing today, where there was no murder. This was a boring episode. Well, it wasn't supposed to really be that. That wasn't supposed to be the show. Yeah, that was involved and intertwined. But it was and who would have thought I would have had the first Sopranos reference?
That's crazy. Usually I have the only Sopranos reference to the point where you don't even like the show anymore because I talk about it so much. Me personally, I enjoy Goodfellas more than The Godfather. I know I said it because I think it's more because
it's funnier.
It was the first gritty movie. It is funnier. I don't think there's anything really funny in The Godfather. Goodfellas are some
Luca Brasi out in front rehearsing his lines like a big oaf.
Wasn't he actually doing that?
Yes,
he wasn't even in the scene and they put it in there.
And he's messing up his lines in the scene with Marlon Brando.
Yes.
And then they reshot that scene to make it like a comedic
moment. That's funny. Bada beep, bada boop, bada beep. Like, that's funny. Yep. But like the stuff with Goodfellas and like Tommy and I remember I pissed Liz off so bad. There was the scene where they come home late at night and his mother-in-law is still awake and they're yelling at him. And my buddy Matsy, he is still this little Italian guy. And I put something on social media because I was like about to get married in like 3 weeks. And I put something on social media. I go, year one of my marriage or something like that. And Liz did not think it was funny. Because she knew that. I mean, Matsy was a guy who liked to party a lot. Still probably likes to party a lot. I still text him. But you know, he lives in Youngstown.
I'm a fan of it.
I live in Streetsboro. I know that.
But just one other thought.
What's wrong with you, Hendry?
Think of how they could have ruined. Not Casino. What were you just talking about?
Goodfellas.
Think of how they could have ruined it had that aired today. people would have loved the conversation, the back and forth with Joe Pesci and Ray Liotta and everybody, that they would have had to make another one 2 years later, and it would have been, here's the laughs, keep coming with the laughs, and it would have ruined it, like the shows, like I said, The Bear has been ruined, because they're like, the audience thinks it's a comedy, now we got to make it a comedy. And it's like, no, don't deviate from what you were trying to do. And Goodfellas struck the perfect chord of funny, can't believe what I'm seeing, whoa, can't really believe what I'm seeing, and yet there is a cogent plot that makes sense, that is tying this entire thing together and has you rooting for or against characters. Instead, it could have just been, hey, we can get away with a lot of writing.
Yeah.
No, that's the mistake that's being made.
So here we go with some, Scarface is actually later on the list, by the way, but I'm going to go through these ones here real quick, because some of these I think I'm immediately going to take out. All right, 24 through 50. Here we go. 3, 2, 1. Goodwill Hunting. The Usual Suspects. Think critically here. You're checking your phone. Think critically.
I think The Usual Suspects.
Is that something they have to watch?
I think, believe it or not, I think a big portion of that movie is kind of boring, but it's totally salvaged.
I actually agree.
It's totally salvaged at the end for obvious reasons.
The Shining.
Yep.
Fight Club. Jump in anytime,
ooh,
Mitch.
Fight Club can be a tough watch.
But because you of the end.
You can't be looking at your phone.
Yeah, but that was that movie, I thought, there's little movies that I think click cinema over a little bit, and I thought Fight Club was like that.
But man, is there a message.
Yeah.
Now, your kids are going to be way too young. Like, you almost need to watch that in college as part of a class where you explore the themes, because there is a huge, huge message in that movie. Like, there's a lot of layers, right? Mm-hmm. It's not just what you're seeing with, hey, a bunch of guys beating each other up and it's a fight club. Like, no, there is so much more going on there.
You ready for one that's... Oh, I didn't even see Joey was even in here. Yeah. Okay. Here's one that's going to be a little bit controversial for you guys.
All right.
Blue Chips.
I know Blue Chips.
Let me explain. Okay. I think you're going to say no.
I probably would have said no, but go ahead.
I want to show them what it was like before NIL. I'm going to go, guys...
The real NIL.
There were really people like this.
Yeah.
Because there, you watch it. My son's only going to know NIL. Like, Axel really is only. He's 10. He knows sports as much as a 10-year-old can in this generation. He only knows the NIL era. So he's going to be going, why is this Nick Nolte guy you're telling me about losing his mind over guys getting paid? It's like, dude, you have no idea how dirty programs used to be and how all this stuff was so illegal and it was the biggest black mark on sports. But because of the movie right behind it, I think I have to pick one or the other. I can't pick both. The other one is The Program. And the reason is, I'm going to look at my son, and there are some rough parts of the program. You remember the urine replacement, the domestic violence in that movie. I'm going to tell with outside of the domestic violence, for crying out loud, I'm going to look at my son, and I'm going to go, that's the football I grew up with. Paint in your face, and guys wondering whether or not they're going to do steroids, and laying people out on purpose, and big shoulder pads, and leading with your helmet. Like, that's the crazy, psychotic stuff that I grew up with. That's the football that we wanted to get into. Like, we watched that before football games, nights before football games. We watched The Program. If I pick one or the other, I think I pick The Program over Blue Chips to watch with the boys. I don't know when I'm ready to watch The Program with. I think Axel would love The Program. I don't know how the other ones are going to feel about The Program.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see how Jonah figures it out. Okay, now I got to move quickly here. Dr. Strangelove. Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
I don't think they'll be able to watch Dr. Strange.
Okay. Ferris Bueller, yes.
Ferris Bueller, okay. American Beauty. We're talking high school kids here. American Beauty.
Well, yeah.
American Beauty.
That movie was more suited for like your age nowadays, and
but
I think
is that,
teenagers.
I watched that in high school, though.
People try to paint that as an all-time classic. I think it's good. I don't know if it's an all-time
bleep
classic.
Me, Your Majesty.
Plastic bag in the wind.
Betty is great.
She
movie.
Is great.
Do you ever see that, Joey? American Beauty? Man, it's dark, but there's some humorous parts.
What was
parts
the young girl's, the young temptress, Mina Suvari?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was also in American Pie.
Yeah.
Fargo.
Yes.
Sure.
Okay, Princess Bride.
But we can't. We can't just gloss over Fargo. Fargo.
That's your friend in the wood chipper.
Instantly rewatchable every time. If you know,
I'm ready to watch Fargo again.
Like, yeah. Yeah, Fargo is so damn good. Again, perfect balance of the funny dialogue that they weren't just throwaways. Mm-hmm. And just you're following this scheme from start to finish, and you're wondering how they're going to pull it off, how they're going to get away with it, and whether or not, what's her name, was so good in that movie. So good.
Frances McDormand?
Yeah, Frances McDormand. She's so damn good in that movie.
You got to eat a breakfast.
So funny. Like, you want to know about the lives of all these different people. Mm-hmm. That's what draws you into a real movie.
And it was
movie.
Great because I had a boss who lived in Brainerd.
Right here in
who
Brainerd.
Who lived in Brainerd. It was amazing to know about that. All right, Princess Bride.
Yes.
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
That could be tough.
Okay. Don't you want to watch The Game Chief? Other than that, it gets kind of in the weeds there. Which I don't know why he has to. He's only like breaking parking meters. Why does he have to go to prison? I knew he had a previous thing. Breakfast Club.
Yep.
Silence of the Lambs.
Yep.
Apocalypse Now. Mm. Apocalypse Now. Come on, Apocalypse Now. Smells like victory.
Depends on which cut.
Oh, God. Here we go. Yeah, now you're just elongating the podcast.
Mitch at the movies. That's
I'm doing one more, and then we're getting the hell out of here, okay? Okay, real quick, around the room. Apocalypse Now.
No.
Mitch.
Yes.
Joey.
Haven't seen it.
For F's sake. All right. Final one, Halloween.
Yes.
Yeah.
The quintessential. You haven't seen that either, have you, Joey?
No, I
haven't.
Dr. Loomis.
Oh, my God.
He has, yeah.
Oh, wait, you have seen the original Halloween?
I have, yeah.
Okay. Because that, to me, is a quintessential horror movie. And by the way, it's so great because there's no blood. There's no actual blood in that movie. Did you know that in the original Halloween?
Really?
Yeah, there's no, like, real blood, which I think just shows the genius of James Carpenter. John Carpenter.
Did you just say Full Metal Jacket?
Is it in here somewhere?
Full Metal Jacket, everything after that you go to war is a waste of time.
Oh, I think I could take out then Apocalypse Now and put
basic,
in Full Metal
basic
Jacket.
Basic training's the only...
I should have him sit there and watch. I should turn on Born on the 4th of July and walk out of the room and come back when it's done.
Feel good movie of the year.
That is a... Brad Hamilton, Tom Hamilton's son, was inspired by me to watch Born on the 4th of July last year. And then he comes up to me and he goes, why did you have me watch that movie? And I was like, Brad, I didn't tell you to watch that movie. In fact, I was saying to not watch the movie. He goes, yeah, but you were talking about it. I watched it. I go, no, Brad. Oof. That's a dark, dark, depressing, sad movie.
Why doesn't that get brought up more for Tom Cruise's like range?
I don't know why. I don't know how.
He's so
I thought
good
he was great
movie.
In that movie.
He's so young and so good in that movie.
And then I did after I watched that movie was read about the guy that he portrayed in the movie. And I'm like, what a fearless individual. Judas Priest. I don't even want to talk about it now. That's how tough that movie is. It's a good watch, obviously, but boy, is it it's haunting. It's way more haunting than I was up for days. I watched Full Metal Jacket when I was 12. It kept me up for days, Tone. Days. I couldn't sleep that night at my buddy Danny's house, and I was up.